So yesterday on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, our sister station, Phil Mendelson, the council chair, was a guest on the show. Clearly in the wake of the Trump tweets the other day, lots of conversation about the name. I had Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 on my podcast on Monday, and he actually asked the mayor about the name, like, would it be an impediment to bringing the team back to DC as it once was? And she said no, it wouldn't be. So what about the city council? Well, Phil Mendelson was asked about this by Grant and Danny. I think Grant, you'll hear, ask the initial question. Here's what Phil Mendelson said about if the team did change back to Redskins.
The president wants the team to change its name. I know you're saying this is a distraction, and I totally get that. In a hypothetical, would them being named the Redskins in any way change anything for the city council's willingness to build them a stadium?
I haven't talked to other members, but my guess is no. It wouldn't change it for me, but I don't even know why we're talking about that, other than that the president did those tweets.
Well, that's kind of why.
I would say that's the reason.
That would be the reason. So, but you understand my question. You'll have to educate me a little bit, because I didn't have to follow this like it was a 400-level class before, not being on the radio back then. But there was a time where the belief was the team could never have a stadium in D.C. again as the Redskins, that the name would need to change. And my point is, if the name is forced to change back, are we still at a point where the powers that be would say, we're not going to support a team named the Redskins? It sounds like you're saying
that. I think what's missing from you just what's missing from what you just said is that the ownership was also very unpopular.
So it was never the name that was preventative of getting back to D.C. It was Dan Snyder.
I would say it was probably the two together.
But if one's gone,
folks are excited about the team, and they had a great season last year. That's changed a lot of attitudes.
He's just compelling radio, isn't he? The guys were trying, and they got some good stuff out of him, that's for sure. You know, I thought it was interesting, and that's why I wanted to play it, that last part, is that, you know, he brought up that it was as much about Dan Snyder as it was about the name. Now, if we go back in time, it was a lot about the name, too. But therein lies the, you know, problem that, you know, the team and its fan base had, is that Snyder's arrogance, his, you know, incompetence, his inability to finesse anything, just inspired more dislike, inspired the, you know, anti-namers to, you know, to be even more active instead of trying to come up with a strategic solution, as, you know, Florida State and other, you know, Indian monikered team nicknames have done over the years. Again, I'm not going to get into, we've done it so many times, the difference between Redskins and Braves, or Redskins and Chiefs, or Redskins and Seminoles. I know what the difference is. Redskins is dictionary defined, insensitive, understood. We're just in disagreement, many of us, with those that leaned on that as the mic drop, as to whether or not that definition was accurate. Anyway, interesting, right, that it was, you know, from his standpoint today, as much about Snyder as it was about the name. But he said the name, and it's not changing back to the Redskins. I hope I'm wrong. Like I've been saying, I hope I'm wrong. I can't wait for the day to be wrong about that one. But if it ever did, it wouldn't be an impediment to the team returning to D.C., like apparently it once was. And the mayor also answered the question the same way the other day with Eric Flack from Channel 9. All right. I wanted to play some sound from yesterday's Peters Quinn press conference, because we had focused, I think, a lot on the things that were said about Terry McLaurin, because it was the first day of camp. Would he or wouldn't he, in terms of reporting? He didn't. You know, where was the state of negotiations? All of that stuff related to Terry. And I've got another, you know, soundbite that I will play about Terry. But I wanted to start with what I thought was an interesting thing to just consider as fans of the team heading into 2025 for right now. Because I've said many times, including yesterday, this is the time of the year you got to be careful. You can't make big declarations or proclamations. You're going to see video coming out of Ashburn. We're going to watch preseason games. And we've all learned over the years that this time of year is such a head fake. It's such fool's gold. You know, the Marcus Masons and the Marco Mitchells. And we could create a list that's five pages long of the things that we've all said that we thought we were seeing that absolutely meant nothing once the real games began. But to me, other, you know, injury information, contract negotiation information, that's all real stuff this time of year. And I love listening to coaches, head coach, coordinators, position coaches, players, when they have these media avails. Like Dan Quinn's going to talk basically every day, you know, unless they have a day off. Quinn spoke this morning. And, you know, once it took us a while to kind of learn Quinn's style and to sort of decipher, you know, is he telling us something by not saying anything? Or, you know, I think Quinn likes to talk. And I think you can, you know, even when he's not being direct and he's trying to be evasive, you can sometimes take something out of an answer from Dan Quinn and project it. Last summer, I remember specifically going into training camp last year, almost everybody agreed that the biggest weakness or perceived weakness on the team was its offensive line. Like, God, man, they just had to build up the line for Jaden in his rookie year. The offensive line was perceived to be super, super weak and the Achilles heel of the team, of the offense and the team. And Quinn said, you know, in a presser midway through camp, maybe as we approach the regular season, he said sometimes the perceptions from the outside about a position group being, you know, the weak link, sometimes those perceptions are wrong. And to me, I remember saying in that moment, look, there's a consensus on what the perceived weakness of this team is. It's the offensive line. He is telling you that they are much more optimistic about the offensive line than the people on the outside of the building. And as it turned out, the offensive line was decent. It was much better than what we thought it would be heading into the year. Yeah, there were moments, especially when Tyler Biadasz was out in that New Orleans game. But yeah, so I think going through the next 5-6 weeks before we get to real games, and even then, early in the season, the real games aren't very telling. We know about the NFL season, especially early in the season. Fool's gold, head fake, however you want to describe it, especially week one more than anything. Look at our team last year, week one versus the kind of team it ended up being. But I thought he said something yesterday in his very first press conference in training camp. There were two answers, two questions and two answers in which he specifically singled out one player on two to three different occasions. So the first soundbite in which he identifies and singles out a player, it's actually a group of players that he singles out. He's asked about, you'll hear the question, but he's essentially asked about, you know, the growth of young players from year one to year two. Here's what he said.
Before about second year players in the NFL, just general second year players taking that biggest leap this season. How early can you kind of hope to really see signs of that expansion of their talents?
Yeah, we had about, I guess, 10 rookies or so that were on the roster, maybe the 53, either at some point or most of the time last season. And that's pretty traditional that you see this jump happen from like year one to year two. So this spring, man, did we see it in Sinnott, and we saw it in Newton and Jordan McGee and others. One I think that's unusual, and they'll get better, but Jaden and Mikey they kind of corrected it in season. They didn't have to wait till the off season. I think that speaks a little bit to their rarity. Like, it's normal to fight your ass off in the season and take your lumps, and then in the off season, I got to get better at this, I got to work on this. Those two, with the experience they had, they kind of self-corrected faster. That didn't mean they didn't get better this spring, but we are really excited to see Javonte and Brandon and some of the others in this role that they're going into their second year. It's a big deal. And most of it, David, is confidence. You know, I've done this. I know what to do. I worked on this skill. And once you get to that space where you're not relying on just your talent anymore, but the skill that you've developed at the position, that's the secret sauce, man. If you can get those skills right, and it takes oftentimes into that second or third year to do that. So we're excited to see the work they put in take place out here on the field.
By the way, we kind of mocked a little bit last summer the consistent theme of we've got the secret sauce, or this is the secret sauce. They had some secret sauce last year. So benefit of the doubt on secret sauce talk heading into 2025. But the first part of that answer, when he says, you know, you see this jump happen from year one to year two, and this spring, man, did we see it in Sinnott, as in Ben Sinnott. We saw it in Newton, as in Johnny Newton. We saw it in Jordan McGee and others. That's the part that I want you to just focus on here for a moment. First of all, Jordan McGee, we've heard for a while now, you know, going back to last year, there was a lot of discussion about how they really kind of liked him. And we heard that, you know, that also came from a lot of the press avails, you know, where they were talking about Jordan McGee over and over again. And then, you know, there were injuries and he never ended up sort of fulfilling what I think their plan was for him last year. This year could be different. But Ben Sinnott was mentioned as the first player here. Big jump. Man, did we see it in Sinnott in the spring. So now I want to take you to another question that was asked, you know, a few minutes later. And this question was about, you know, players getting more familiar with the system in kind of year two. Here's what Quinn said.
When you ask the question of, like, what did I see on the field, like, on the offensive side, like Sinnott and Coleman, they jumped out to me in some different ways. Brandon moving inside the guard and like putting in the work to do that. Sinnott all coming off a shoulder surgery. He rehabbed so hard where during that offseason part, he and Sam were two of the ones we saw every day still while they were getting themselves ready. And I saw that confidence come out onto the field.
So Sinnott in two different answers. Two different answers. By the way, am I the only one that missed this? I Googled it and couldn't find it. Did he tell us something that we didn't know prior to him saying it about Sinnott having off-season shoulder surgery? He got hurt in the Tampa playoff game. I remember that, and there's plenty of information on the internet about him getting hurt, his shoulder getting injured in the Tampa Bay playoff game. I couldn't find anything on Sinnott having off-season shoulder surgery. He mentions, you know, Sinnott and Coleman in that particular soundbite. By the way, in the other soundbite, he also mentioned Brandon Coleman as well. But remember, Brandon Coleman's a player that we're familiar with. He played a lot last year. You know, the draft that is most recent is sometimes the wrong draft to focus on. Oftentimes, it's the wrong draft to focus on. The better draft to focus on is the draft the year before, because most players do not blow up in year one like Jaden Daniels did. You know, you typically don't get that in year one, or like Mikey Sanristil did. Most players, it takes a year, sometimes 2 years. And when we've talked about, like, where are they going to get, you know, better pass rush? Maybe it's John Baptiste. Maybe it's Jordan McGee. Maybe it's Johnny Newton. Maybe Newton becomes a massive run stopper. But I thought it was interesting that he singled out Sinnott multiple times. Ben Sinnott, 6'4", 250 pounds, second round pick, number 53 overall. That was part of the trade back with Philadelphia, remember, where Washington gave up the opportunity to draft Cooper DeJean, which Philadelphia did, and they ended up with additional second round picks. So they took Sanristil and Sinnott with those two picks at 50 and 53. Sanristil, really good player. Sinnott, we didn't see much from last year. Caught a nice pass on a fake punt in the NFC Championship game, but that was about it. You know, he was a player on draft night I remember being really excited about because he was a Cooley duplicate, like in style. Like, he looks like Chris Cooley as a tight end. He is phenomenal after the catch, and he is a big target. So maybe... You know, look, Zach Ertz is getting up there. We understand that. And we also, you know, understand that John Bates is their blocking tight end. Well, Sinnott's next in line. I have a feeling we're going to see Sinnott have a big role, and sooner rather than later. This is just one of those things that I could come back and say, yeah, I was wrong. He was just, you know, rambling and ripping off some names that were top of mind. But we've learned with Quinn in this 18 months with him, that you can learn about what they are thinking by listening carefully to his answers. He typically doesn't just willy-nilly throw out names, especially three times in two different answers. By the way, if anybody can find a story that says that Sinnott had off-season shoulder surgery, send it to me, because I could not find it. So I thought that was a bit revealing. All right, back to Terry. So, I want to know from you at 301-230-0980 if you have a problem with him holding out. You know, we did the, are you team Terry or team front office if it comes to this? Well, it's now come to this. He's holding out. So, do you have a problem with Terry holding out? Yes or no, why or why not? 301-230-0980. I thought that there was a really interesting question by David Aldridge. It's a long question, but I think it really encompasses what he wanted to get out of Adam Peters, and I thought he got a lot out of Adam Peters with his answer. Here's David Aldridge later in the presser yesterday coming back to Terry McLaurin.
For Adam, you have a lot of moving parts with Terry. You have history, you have future, you have philosophy. I wonder where all of those points meet for you and the organization in terms of trying to find a deal that's fair for the organization, but also fair to Terry and what he means to the team.
Yeah, that's always probably the tricky part of any negotiation is figuring all that out. And, you know, in terms of understanding the market, understanding our team, understanding, you know, our financial situation and all that. But, you know, I don't think I've been a part of a negotiation where it's been really linear and smooth and everything like that. But I think, you know, understanding where they're at and understanding where we're at and trying to close that gap and come into something is really the kind of all the nuance of it and staying really above board and you know, negotiating in good faith. All those things come together and that's how you come to a deal. So as long as it fits in the construct of what you want to do and how you want to build it and what the player would Terry in this instance is, you know, comfortable with. So that's what we're working towards and we're having some good conversations and we'll continue to.
Yeah, this is there's so much nuance around this and so much of it, you know, even sitting here talking about the nature of this contract negotiation, we just don't have enough information. There's a lot going on here. You know, the understanding of the market, you know, we think we can just pull up a chart, you know, overthecap.com or spotrack.com and look at average annual and look at guaranteed and look at ages and have an idea. And maybe on that front, we're probably closer than on some of the other issues. Understanding our team, understanding our financial situation. I think that is multifold, but primarily I think he's talking about cap and future cap. You know, in 2 years, they're going to have the largest expenditure on a player in NFL history. You know, fingers crossed that we get to that point, and that's the kind of contract that Jaden Daniels deserves in the offseason of 2027. So there will be a lot of planning around that move. He said, you know, these negotiations aren't linear. He said, I've never been part of a negotiation where it's been really linear and smooth and everything like that. But I think understanding where they're at and understanding where we're at and trying to close that gap to come to something that's, you know, worth it is the nuance of it. And then he talked about, and I think this is really where, you know, the person that Terry is has him, you know, make this part of the answer. Not that they're not always trying to negotiate in good faith, but it's really important after last week where Terry essentially questioned their good faith and questioned, you know, how they were valuing him. And he says, you know, staying really above board and negotiating in good faith, all of those things come together, and that's how you make a deal. And, you know, with Terry in this instance, he says, we want the player to be comfortable with it as well. All right. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Where are you on Terry holding out? Are you okay with it? Are you angry with it? Your reaction to Terry McLaurin holding out on this, and maybe we do just simplify it like we did a few weeks ago in anticipation of this, although I didn't think we would get to this point. I thought he'd have a deal by the time we got to training camp. I was dead wrong. So let's make it even simpler. Are you Team Terry or are you Team Front Office on Terry's holdout and on this contract standoff? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. You can also watch us on the Team 980 YouTube page. Like it and subscribe to it when you get there.